Blog Talk Radio.
Taking a big step forward, welcoming the team of Volkswagen workers from a plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee. The UAW has tried unsuccessfully to unionize plant twice in the past. This development is significant to the overwhelming votes in favor, 73%, and the fact that this is the first non-union auto plant in the American South to unionize. This region has been historically difficult to organize, but some experts suggest the change is coming thanks to the publicity of UAW's Big Three strike.
Wow. Okay, there you go. You heard it here fifth time.
Good morning. I'm Chief Davis, and the United Auto Workers Union taking a big step forward, welcoming the team of Volkswagen workers from a plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee. The UAW has tried unsuccessfully to unionize plant twice in the past. This development is significant.
Oh, shut up. Okay. We're here. All right, let's see here. Let me get, excuse me, Missy. I think that's Missy and Adrian.
It is. How are you doing, Don?
All right. How about you, hon?
Pretty good. Great. You feeling okay?
It's one of them days.
I feel you.
Yeah, I know. I know you do.
Good evening.
How you doing?
I'm good. You sound a little bit better than you did last night, but not much.
But I'm glad I can talk. Man, the Tigers won 6-1.
Yeah.
And that always makes you feel good. W in Minnesota. They have won on the road all 5 series. So, by the way, Scott's got some information about Stephanie. Would you take it away, Scott?
All right. Stephanie was in a bad accident last night. She was in the left turn lane, had the green arrow, and started her turn and got broadsided on her side of the vehicle. She's okay. She's got a major concussion, and she's really sore. They took her to the hospital last night in the ambulance. They checked her head, her chest, head, neck, chest, and her stomach area. And her 5 of the 9 airbags went off, and her vehicle is completely totaled. They about ripped the front end right off of it completely. So we keep Stephanie in our thoughts, our prayers, positive thoughts.
Yeah.
To say she was not at the union meeting today, and Vice President filled in, and he did a little bit better than he did the last time, but not much. But that's okay.
Yeah.
So we'll just keep Stephanie in our prayers and your thoughts. And,
lucky young lady.
Yeah, I sent Don the pictures, and he said, oh, boy. So other than that, they talked about the popcorn thing and toys. That's the union, of course. And then they talked about 25-year rings.
25-year rings?
Yeah. You remember how you used to be able to go to the union hall and get your 25-year ring? UAW ring?
They stopped that a long time ago.
So they stopped it, and they brought it back, and now they want to stop it again. International said, you know, for the Constitution, there is a monetary fund, a limit on the fund in which you can gift a member. So if we reword that instead of a gift as an award from your local, I guess that's okay. So we voted to allow, they had ordered 60 rings back in August of last year. They finally came in, and the person who brought the rings in was turned away at the hall and said that we're not going to be doing that anymore. So they voted today to allow the rings that they got to be given away, because that was before anybody said anything about it, kind of like in the past. And going forward, they are going to work it, figure how they need to word that as an award instead of it as a gift.
Right.
And then Sharon Bell asked Eric and Chad, both the chairman and the financial secretary, about where do we find the pension language with the actual numbers on it. Eric Kohler says, once he left Detroit, that's between the president, the vice president, and the benefits people down at Solidarity House. I kind of agree with what he says, but in return, there's still something that you need to, you know, address, because there's still part of your people out there that has questions.
Right.
So Sharon asked for that information, was that, and he referred to her to president, vice president's office, and national benefits, try to answer her questions. Then she asked Chad if there was something that he could put on the financial report stating how much is available in the pension fund. Of course, he said he can't do that because those are considered line items. When he puts a financial statement out, those are pertaining just to our local, not a national issue such as pensions, which I understood. But she mentioned to both people and it got on record, so we'll see what happens. And I would expect Sharon to come on tonight and talk about that. And the best that I could find in the short time that I had to work on it a little bit was I keep seeing in the national contract, and I don't know if it's the same way at Ford, is 80 and 60. I keep seeing 80% and 60%. And I believe in the past when Danjan talked about it, or Leroy talked about it, I think that on the books, they can show that they're 80% funded, and I think in actuality it's got to be 60 or 65% actual money there. And the reason that Sharon brought this up was because they're paying the SAP out of the pension fund.
Right.
Eric told her that when he was down in Detroit, General Motors was saying to the union that they were like $3 to $5 billion overfunded in the pension fund. I myself personally have a hard time believing that.
Yeah.
I mean, it is possible. The scenario would be that since 2007, and by looking at the contract, they're going up to October 13th now of 2007, as people who are getting pensions. From that point forward, no new Social Security numbers were added to the pension fund. I mean, shoot, you remember, 10 years ago? They
yeah.
said that they weren't going to put no more money in the pension funds because there was no need to. They just keep contributing what they're contributing because the older retirees were, what's a nice word, recycling?
Dying.
They were dying, yeah. So if I just kept that fund and people kept dropping off and kept that funding, that'd keep me where I'm at or above. So
right.
Now they're saying they're overfunded. And the pension fund. Well, this kind of ricocheted around the question of the 2% that they're allowing to leave out of each facility and corporate-wide and whatever for the SAP. Eric told everybody, and he said it three times so people could hear what he was saying. If you want to go, sign up. Because then he goes, well, we only know this many people can go. He goes, that's right. But if you want to go, sign up, because they're fighting to get more people to go. This will be the only one for the whole year. And the deadline for signing up is May 6th. And if you sign up, you only have 2 days to go back up and take your name back off. If they get to you, if they get to that number, right, the amount of people that they want to let go. They want to say, if you sign up, then we've got more firepower. We got this many more people who want to go, and they're going to fight to get them people to like let them go. And then that's when the pension question come up from Sharon Bell about the pension monies and where we can find it and who you talk to so we can see how much is there, you know, and, you know, what's this going to cost us? I mean, I'm sorry. I want to say $15,000, I think, was corporate-wide maybe. So I guess you'd have to, you know, do a quick calculation of 15,000 people times $50,000. That's $750 million. So, you know, almost, you know, $750 million. If you're overfunded by at least three, so they say, that would still leave you overfunded by two. Why not let the people go? But I wasn't in that room when they negotiated that. You know, sure would have been that cheap, I'm telling you right now. Just saying.
No. I agree. So, let me get 313 on Scotty. Hang on.
Okay.
It's been
I got a question for Scott.
Okay. 313, you're on, but go ahead, Adrian.
Good afternoon. You said 313, right?
Hello,
yeah,
how are you?
Yeah,
Sharon
sure.
Bell.
Okay. Yeah, Sharon.
I'm in the process of asking a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Adrian.
Okay. My question is, you were told by your vice president of your local that they can't put a total amount of what's in the pension fund. Is that correct?
That was the chairman and the financial secretary.
That was
secretary.
The vice chairman, because your chairman wasn't there, right?
Chairman was president.
Oh.
The president wasn't there.
Okay, so
right.
This is your chairman of your unit.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Of our bargaining unit of Local 598.
Okay.
And then Sharon also asked the same question basically to the financial secretary.
Okay, I got all of that. Okay.
Okay.
Here's my question. Because I know that in our financial statements that come from our local, they put the total amount of the strike fund there.
Yes, they do.
Okay, now, to me, the reasoning given to you about the total amount of your pension fund has to do with the company, because the union does not put into that pension.
Correct.
So it's got to do more with the company than with your union. But yet and still, and I don't know if Don received one, but this week I received a benefit letter about the pension fund at Ford. See, the retirees get these letters periodically.
Right.
And it tells you what the percentage is, you know, where they are, the funding.
Correct.
It also gives you a dollar amount.
Yes, ma'am.
But
that is,
yeah,
I believe that's federal law.
You don't do that for the active.
No, they do not. I don't know what the requirements are. I guess I really need to start digging into the retirement stuff more. Yeah, but you're right. I know by law, at least one time a year, they have to give a statement to all you retirees from the UAW, from basically the big three, as to where your pension funds are at and monies and percentages and whatever.
Right.
I remember, how long have you been retired now?
6 years.
It had to have been at least 10 years, I'm going to say, maybe a little bit longer, because Danjen was still alive, and he was still on the show. And somebody, I can't remember which one it was, whether it was Ford, Chrysler, or General Motors, but somebody had failed to put those letters in the mail to the retirees. And they got a fine from the federal government. They put them out. They got them out, but it was late, I guess you could say. And they got fined. So I know there's something that you got the IRS involved, the FCC is involved. I'm trying to think, all the departments of labor, and there's a whole lot of people all involved in all this. Jess, I agree with you. If you can put down the balance of the strike fund, why can't you put down the balance of the pension fund? What does it hurt?
Yeah, the only thing that I could see is, like I say, the UAW does not control the pension fund.
Right. They do have members that sit on a board.
That
I
may be
out.
True, but they don't control it.
Yeah,
the company doesn't control that.
Right. It does say that General Motors, or the, in the legal language, the corporation will control that, and the contributions and the payouts are done by the corporation.
Right.
All right.
So.
I'd like to comment.
I have for you, but I can't recall it right now. It'll come back to me.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Michelle. While you're on this subject, I'm asking everyone to, I asked the chairman, I wanted to know the percentage of the pension, what is the percentage of the pension, what is it funded, and how is it funded, and the dollar amount. I needed to know the dollar amount, and I also asked the financial secretary to create a line that shows that, because my concern is that the SAP, the $50,000 that the SAP coming from the pension fund, when GM can afford to pay the $6 million from its own pocket, 12,000 members will be eligible to retire over the life of the agreement. And this $50,000, this is where the $6 million should come from, because it shouldn't be coming out of a retirement fund. And Ford and Chrysler is not paying theirs out of that. If you take money out, I'm going to make it sure, if you take money out of the pension fund and you don't put it back, because I don't trust management to put it back, and if you're going to put it back, let me know what date you're going to put it back. Because eventually it will deplete. And then the excuse will be, oh, we can't afford to pay it. Now you're coming up with some other plan. This is the time to speak up. And I told them to stop and cease. Stop and cease, for those that don't know, is a term that they use within the organization. I said, until you give information about what's in there. How much is in there? Now, what am I going to do with that? I'm going to watch and see when it starts going down, and then I'm going to watch and see when you replenish it. Remember this, 2018, Leroy McKnight and I both ran, and we discussed this pension issue. We haven't been able to stop it. Leroy made it very clear that there were some problems, and I agreed with him. That's why I supported that. And now a lot of the people that's negotiating for you are not getting pensions. They're not getting pensions. So why would they care? I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I care about my money. I'm a participant. Also, I told Scott today, I did get in touch with ERISA, and they recalled that I talked to them, and they kept notes on me, 2018. And here is very vague, the control. I said, everybody's telling me the money is guaranteed. We work under a contract with the union and the company. They are making administrative decisions. They did an MOU, the chairman for a copy of it. They, until some complaints go in and they've done something wrong, they have no reason to police them. So what we're saying, we're going to wait until they do it. I think we need to walk through this. Also, I'm asking every local to ask your local to put a line on the financial support, statement about the pension, because now we got to watch it. Now, if anybody got any response? And it is, Adrian, you made a valid point that it's the company, but let me say this. The pension fund is governed under the administrative union is involved. So it's a joint, the company is supposed to pay it, but they're not paying it. They taking it out. They're going to use that money that's going, I'm the one that it's going to be distributed to, but they're using it. And they use, why did they need an MOU to make that decision that the union wasn't involved? They had to get them to sign off. Somebody else can talk. I'm just telling you, this is very important. I heard Leroy came on and talked to you all about it. Now I'm coming on. So that's my take. Okay. I want them to stop in seats until they give us the information.
All right. Scotty?
Yes, sir.
That means take it away, Scott.
Oh, okay. Yes, okay. So that's where we're at with the pension. I understand what you're saying, because people are not figuring out that you need to pay attention to this. This is going to be your, if you're eligible for a pension and was hired before October 1st of 2007, this is going to be your pension money. You need to pay attention to this. And like she's, and like Sharon said, you need to call people. You need to ask people, what's this funding at? What's going to happen? How much money is getting paid out? How much is coming back in? You know, what is the required amount that is owed to the pension fund from the corporation? I agree all that. I don't have all the answers. Like I said, I started trying to figure this out. And try to figure it out a little bit, but yeah, it's an awful lot. There's a lot of language around pension in white pages. So, and of course, you know, it's all legalese, so it's hard to understand all the lawyery phrases, so to say. So, I mean,
I'm going to tell you somewhere that you could possibly look. If you have any bit of stock in your company, you know, through your 401k,
right,
you get an accounting booklet every year. It's got to be in there.
You'd think.
No. That's not a you think. It's got to be in there. That's a liability.
Okay.
Okay. So it has
right.
to be in there.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. A lot of people, they get those books and they don't look over those books because it's a lot of information in there and it's split up, you know, amongst different accounting principles. So you had different reports. But it's in there.
Right.
Now, the question is Scotty and Miss Bell going to sign the books to go if they get a chance? At least sign the books? Scotty?
Probably not, because we got, what, 2 more years going, and that's about when I'm probably looking at trying to retire. So,
all right. That's good enough.
Five
more years for you.
What books are we signing?
If we were willing to run again for something.
No.
If they don't check my pictures.
Oh, to retire.
To retire.
Sign a book and sign. I'll get back with them. Well, I got to see where the pension stands first.
I got you.
I take care of it. Yeah. When I know that pension is secure, when I came to Flint, that was on my mind. 2018, me and Leroy to talk to his blue in the face, and he is nice, kind. What good is retiring if my pension is at risk? It's not guaranteed. I'm getting half of my husband's because they bankrupt and all that. The pension is secure for half.
Right.
For half. And we got to stop guessing. If you don't know, get to know. Look at the facts and know the information before you advise anyone.
All right.
Okay. So there you got a somewhat of an answer. Been 4 days ago? Yeah, 4 days ago. How'd you like Local 51 notifying people that they are going to be on indefinite layoff? I'm trying to think. In accordance to the Beacon, any tiebreakers in seniority will be determined by the last four. 57 non-skilled employees will be laid off effective Monday, 22nd of April, 2024. Employees with non-skilled date of April 7th, 2021 or less may be affected by this layoff. Said the company has no time that those skilled trades will be affected by these productivity improvements and are not subject to layoff. The local union is continuing to have discussions with companies as well as the international union. Respectfully, Casey Fiddler, President, Local 51, and Luigi M. Jokaj. Local, he's the Vice President of Local 51. So that was really nice of them. And then also this last week, you're going to love this one. General Motors said they're going to relocate its headquarters in 2025 from the Renaissance Center to downtown Detroit to the nearby Hudson's Building. I don't know where the Hudson's Building's at.
I used to. That's a long time ago.
Right.
It's on Woodward Avenue. Right.
Okay.
There. Yeah, it's on Woodward. It's nice. And I was just talking to somebody telling me about it now. It's a lot going on.
Said that they're moving into the building that's under construction by Bedrock that has received more than $200 million in tax incentive and breaks. So it does not say in the article what they are planning on doing with
the Renaissance.
What's that?
The Renaissance building, where they're moving out of.
Yeah, what are they going to do with that?
Well, I'm talking to some people. I'm going to find out shortly. I just found out about it today since I wasn't hanging out in Detroit.
Right.
From all the reporting, GM is just moving the headquarters out. They are trying to figure out how they're going to repurpose the Renaissance. They are not going to completely move out of the Renaissance. Just the headquarters.
Gotcha. So they can keep other departments and stuff there. Well,
you know, they may come up with, say, for instance, department in there.
Right. Right.
They could put some kind of quality departments in there. I mean, you know, so they're not giving up the building altogether.
Right.
And what's his name? Gilbert, Dan Gilbert. He's going to. I don't want to say partner with them, but he's going to have something to do with whatever they're doing in the Renaissance.
Right. Yeah.
According to them, it's a lot of problems with pipes and stuff on that particular tower.
Right. Well, my goodness, it was built, what, back in 1976, wasn't it? It was built a long time ago.
Yeah, it was built a while ago, yes.
Right. You know, and of course, people don't do preventive maintenance on their investments like they need to anyway, right? So it's possible, you know. It's starting to nickel and dime them, right? I guess that would be the word I'm looking for. It's starting to nickel and dime them. So, yeah. It's interesting, too, because that building itself is kind of iconic now to Detroit. You know, I was there a long time ago when you could go up to the summit. Remember they had the summit bar up there and it rotated?
Yeah.
I think it took about 45 minutes to go completely around. You know, you look at downtown Detroit, you come back around, you look at the river, and then next you know you look at the river in Canada, and then you look at the river and you're back to Detroit again. We spent extra money and went up that exceptionally fast elevator they had on the outside.
Right.
And that thing cruised going up there. Wouldn't be something I would have had somebody who was afraid of heights to be on, because it was on the outside of the building going up. But I mean, I remember being there, but that's part of Detroit's skyline now. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I would hope they would not, you know, tear any part of that building down, you know. But it's, yeah, I don't know. It is what it is. I guess they're making a decision. If they still own the building, maintenance is maintenance. I mean, if you need to fix something, you got to fix something. You know, if you were selling the building, I could see you saying that it was expensive to upkeep, but You know, you've been there since 1996, and yes, it was built in 1970, or it opened in 1976. So you've been there for the better part of 30 years. You've been there, you know, in Detroit in a building that's iconic, and everybody's come to know, you know, the Renaissance Center as the headquarters for General Motors. So, yeah, it's too bad. I mean, I don't know. I just can't figure out what the game is behind it. There's got to be money involved somewhere, somehow. Decisions like this aren't made, you know, nilly-willy. It's all about money. All about money. So that's my take on it.
And then they have, you know, you got to look at the fact that it has its own parking also.
Oh, it does?
Yes, it has parking there on those grounds.
Oh.
And one of the things about Gilbert, he doesn't invest in buildings downtown that do not have some type of parking. Because I'm not understanding the Hudson Towers. I'm trying to figure out, is he going to put parking there? Are they going to have a parking structure? Because, see, I know that he invested in the AT&T parking lots, which is off of Michigan and it's at Washington Boulevard. And some of his people were parking there, and then they would shuttle over to their building, which was around Woodward. It's a lot of stuff that go on down there with him. So it's worth keeping your eye on to see what's going to really go on. And they talked about retail stores. Well, it used to be shops in the Renaissance.
Yeah.
There used to be stores there.
Yes, and on the first floor. I remember going in there and looking back in the day.
Yeah, so it's like what happened to, you know, all the stores just moved out. I don't know. But whatever, it's an investment for the company, and hopefully... You don't know what tax abatements or whatever that the city may give them. And that's something you have to keep your eyes on. Because tax abatements, the citizens have to pay for tax abatements. If they give them 15%, that's got to be made up. So, tax abatements are not free.
No. We pay them.
That's right. So, you know, there's a lot to look at. I just want to make sure that it's, you know, that they do well.
Right.
So.
You don't wish Detroit not to do well. I mean, they went through a couple hard knocks, and they seem to be holding their own right now, so to say.
Oh, I think they're doing quite well. I'm trying to keep up with stuff there. I mean, I was born and reared there.
Right.
I still love the city.
Detroit is an awesome city.
Yeah, it's a
lot of history.
They're doing some good things. So you want to, you know, you want them to continue to do good because all of these major urban cities pay some of that money go to these little cities and towns. People never think about that.
No, we don't.
Mm-mm. But
so they have to share the wealth.
Yes. And usually they do. It's just, there's some things that have went on that I don't agree with, and I still don't agree with it. But, okay.
All right. Missy, anything happening in Fort Wayne, Indiana at your truck plant?
Not that I'm aware of.
All right. Bob, all right?
Bob's okay. He's trying to get a hold of his dad. He can't get a hold of him, so.
Well, it might be nice where he's at and outside getting some air.
Yeah. Yeah, could be. Hopefully.
Could be out trying to drown a couple of worms, too. You never know.
Yeah.
So, I heard there was a rumor while you're talking real quick, Missy, that there might be a layoff, a temporary layoff down at Fort Wayne.
There is, yeah. I'd have to ask Bob. When's that layoff? The first one. So it's the end of April.
April
29th, odd, end of April, for a week.
Okay. Okay.
And then the last week of June will be a layoff.
Right. And the first week of July
is a shutdown, but you get, and then the third week.
Oh, the third week of July?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Which is really going to screw people on unemployment because the first week you're paid holiday pay for July 4th and July 5th.
Mm-hmm.
And then so those first 3 days of that week, you got to use vacation time. And then the third week, you got to claim unemployment. So it's like unemployment, then you're getting paid, then unemployment.
Right.
And the state of Indiana, they screw you on unemployment. I'm trying to get it.
Oh my!
It's not even worth filing, in my personal opinion, because it takes forever to get it.
Right.
And then by the time you do receive it, it's past the time to where you can apply for subpay. So I never apply for it.
Yeah.
You should. That's decent money.
It's not that much here.
Really?
Dead serious as a doornail. It was more in Kansas. In Kansas, it was almost like $600 a week. In Indiana, shit, what is it? I think it's only like $395 a week, something like that. I mean, it's like hardly anything.
Right. Well, better than nothing.
It is, but just for me personally, I don't mess with it because I got money in the bank.
I gotcha.
That's just for me personally.
Right. Speaking of money in the bank, the trucks, both light duty, and heavy duties back in the news again. At least for us, Mary Barra said that they've coming back from their first quarter results. They said that that the EV growth is slowing, and you're getting competition. Yeah, you're getting intensified competition from China, and borrowing costs have forced the automaker to delay investments and ratchet down the costs over the last 12 months. What they're saying. So what happens is that Ford and GM are focusing on sales of their core gasoline-powered vehicles, where they drive most of their profit from. And in that case, that is the Chevy, the GMC pickups and SUVs, and the same with Ford. So,
yeah.
Hmm.
What a surprise that is, right, guys? Over 2 years now.
That was just a shock.
Yeah.
And Stellantis is having some problems with their suppliers, to the point now to where it is causing some plants to shut down, and there's lawsuits being filed on behalf of the suppliers. Because they're negotiating, they're trying to renegotiate the prices on their parts, basically. And the UAW is involved in that now, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. You know, it's none of their business how they run the business, but it does affect them because they have their members are getting temporary layoffs because they have a parts shortage. On workers, workplaces, and unions, and on the UAW Factory Worker Show official site, I did post, if you want to take time and read it, it's the Nation. They do an interview with Sean Fain on Volkswagen and UAW Southern Strategy. If you care to read that, you can read it if you want.
All right.
Like I said, I just put that out there for a filler. We have, about 12 minutes, 13 minutes left, 12 minutes left in the show.
Yeah.
I think maybe we're going to do a show again next Sunday, maybe. And that might be the last one for the summer, I'm thinking. We'll play it by ear. We're going to do it today, but we wanted to get a different report, which wasn't available for us to do, so that's why we might just go ahead and just do one more show and from there.
Sounds good.
So you'd be down May, June, July, and August?
Yes, ma'am. Historically, in the past, we've kind of went up to we went up to Memorial Day and went from Memorial Day to Labor Day. That might happen too. Talk to you people here on the show right now. What do you think? You know, get some input. We can always do another show, a special show if we have to, if something big happens. But
I'd like to welcome Chattanooga, the folks in Chattanooga. Congratulations.
Yes, that's the first step.
That's the first half. Huge.
Now, the next one is going to be a contract.
Mm-hmm.
What was it says in the Bible, Adrian? Whoa. I'm going to add a whoa in there to you.
It's going to be interesting because, remember, last week Leroy was talking about something about management involvement.
Yep, Works Council.
Yes, I couldn't think of the name of that.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
So,
well, we've been hearing about
to see
that.
If that's going to be. Yeah, if they're going to put that in the contract, and if they do, that'll be different than any other UAW
contract ever negotiated. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be different, and that's something that we have to be very careful of.
You bet.
Absolutely.
You
because
bet.
That's not in our Constitution to do that.
What Sean Fain is made of here.
Uh-huh.
Because nobody wanted that the last time we really talked about it. There was no one that wanted that.
Right.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's going out there on a limb, I'm telling you. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's I know they paid attention to what happened up north before, and that had a lot to do with their first run. I know Dick Dingin got a hold of some people down there and answered a lot of questions for them or give them questions to ask that was not answered. And that really hurt them because it was like everything was secretive. They didn't want to tell these people they're going to do. They asked specific questions about pay, pensions, health care, profit sharing. I mean, people don't realize Volkswagen is a very profitable company. You know, they own Audi, they own Porsche, they own something else too, I'm sure. You know, Volkswagen is not a little company, but for them to put up what appeared to be a little bit of a fight over unionization in Chattanooga. And the flip side, with like Adrian said, when you bring in this works council language and management gets a say in on this committee, it seems like you probably wouldn't fight it so hard because I can kind of control what happens here. And, well, like she says, we'll have to wait and see. We'll see what Sean Fain's made of. We'll see what's happened then.
Yeah, but, you know, management is not a part of our Constitution. Now, the Constitution doesn't change for one company.
You're right.
And they can't have their own Constitution.
No.
So this is going to be something that you have to really pay attention to.
So that just tells me it can't happen. It just can't happen.
Unless, you know, the executive board decide to amend something or rewrite something.
Don't we have to vote on that, being that's our Constitution?
Well, they wrote in there that the retirees couldn't run for office, and
True.
You didn't have to vote on that, right?
Yeah, you're right. Seems like this is a whole different ballgame now. This is changing the structure of the whole union.
Right. And if that's the case, they would have to call for a special convention. And if I remember right, it's the people who were your constitutional delegates. They go back down, and they would vote on that. So
that's
correct. A lot of feel good on that, isn't it, Don?
Oh yeah, I'm thrilled.
Sound like it.
By the way, we're going to do a convention of states show. I know Jesse and a few other people were interested in it, and Bianchi has set up somebody, an authority in Michigan that knows all the answers to a lot of questions. So once we get this set up, I'll let everybody know. Convention
cool.
of States, you ought to look into that, folks. It'll be on a Sunday night.
Yeah, it takes, Doesn't it take like 2/3 of the states to call for a convention? 38
states, I think.
38 states.
Yeah,
call for a convention.
Yeah.
The last we knew, they only had 19, right? Have they increased?
I think it's close to getting 20. Let me get 313 on real quick. 313, you're on.
Don?
Yes. Hello?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Jesse. I just came across something. Hey, I was just listening to you guys. No, I heard something about the Ren Center. Just came across something by accident. Actually says that they're not moving there, and they have a GM sign up, official GM sign up that says "Welcome GM Rensen employees," and it says General Motors chooses Lakeside Mall over Hudson's Detroit for new headquarters. Sounds like it's under the on Facebook. It's under Macomb. That's what it says. Macomb Daily, Macumb Daily on Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys can look that up. There's a little bit of writing about it, but
damn, that's already changed already from earlier in the week.
Yeah, 4 days ago. 5 days ago.
Yeah.
It says 5 days ago, yeah, General Motors Company has thrown a curveball in its relocation plans by choosing Lakeside Mall in Sterling Heights as its new global headquarters, surprising many who expected Hudson's Detroit development to be the chosen site. This decision represents a significant change in direction for the automotive giant, moving away from its initial collaboration with Dan Gilbert's real estate firm. Opting for Lakeside Mall, GM reaffirms its dedication to the greater Detroit area while also reassessing its real estate strategies. Move reflects GM's intention to tap into the potential of the Lakeside Mall location, potentially invigorating the Sterling Heights community. Further details on the transformation of Lakeside Mall into a corporate hub are anticipated as GM gears up for this momentous shift. And it has a nice pick of the official sign, a redesign just for General Motors.
Going to be a little different watching Tiger games when they show the outfield. It says General Motors back in the day. It used to be on Tiger.
No, I don't want to. Really don't want to start assuming stuff, but I heard Scott say that decisions aren't made lightly. And I'm telling you, after the contract and then a $10 billion buyback, and then they're still trying to cut.
Yeah.
And at the individual plant level, I'm not feeling too comfortable that financials are on the right track. But I'll just leave that as my opinion.
Okay,
right.
Jesse.
Right.
Awesome. Thank you for that information, buddy.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
You too, Jesse.
You too.
Don't work hard tonight, my man.
Have a good night, Jesse.
Thank you. You too.
You too, bud. Yeah, we had about 90 seconds to go. We will be back next Sunday night, 7 o'clock. And thank you.
Oh, and happy belated birthday to Jesse. He had a birthday this past week.
Jesse, are you here?
When I'm here, but...
Get over my knee, man. Get over my knee now. Slap that ass. Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you.
And a whole lot more. Whole lot more. We're going to have people like you in the union teaching these younger people what the hell's going on.
Right.
Left.
Yes.
Okay.
So next week, back at 7 o'clock for now. I don't think anything big's happening this week that I can think of.
No.
Right off the get-go. Someone is going to try and share the show on TikTok, Don.
Oh, boy.
I said, good luck. See what happens.
Thank you. If you want to do it, go in. I don't care. It's shared everywhere else. Yeah, China needs a couple of it.
Back too, but I need some answers in his own, so I'm not feeling too cool.
I don't know any of that stuff. I don't know about TikTok. I don't know if I've even been on a TikTok. I'm an old man. So I'll leave that up to you young people.
Anybody in the audience who's got a birthday today?
Yes,
happy
we do.
To you.
Uh-oh. My name is Missy from 598. Little Pito going out of the party night. The truck might work. We'll be back next Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Be careful, be safe. And good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Happy birthday, Jen.